This is the Middle East Debrief by Atlas News. Hello, and welcome to the Middle East Debrief, where we cover this week's top stories from the Middle East. First up, on February 2nd, U.S. Central Command launched strikes against multiple locations in both Syria and Iraq, targeting facilities and personnel associated with Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, and affiliated militias. This action came in response to an attack by an Iranian-backed group on a U.S. military base in Jordan, which resulted in the deaths of 3 American soldiers and injured dozens more. The strikes, spanning over 125 individual attacks across at least 12 locations, represent a significant escalation in the ongoing tensions between the U.S. and Iran. Notably, however, they stopped short of directly targeting Iranian soil, a possibility that had sparked concerns of a wider conflict. The Syrian Ministry of Defense swiftly condemned the strikes, accusing the U.S. of deliberately targeting areas where Syrian forces were battling ISIS remnants. This statement implies that Syria views the U.S. actions as aiding ISIS, a narrative likely intended to garner domestic and regional support. Further complicating the situation, Iraq's government also denounced the strikes, calling them a violation of their sovereignty. While the full ramifications of these strikes remain to be seen, it's crucial to understand the context that fueled this escalation. The U.S. has long been wary of Iranian influence in the region, particularly its support for groups like the IRGC and various militias. These concerns have only intensified in recent years, with Iran's nuclear program and its involvement in conflicts like the Syrian civil war becoming flashpoints. Next, we delve into the recent sanctions imposed by the U.S. Department of the Treasury on 6 Iranian officials linked to critical infrastructure cyber attacks. We'll analyze the context, implications, and potential consequences of this action. On February 2nd, the Treasury announced sanctions against key figures within the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Cyber Electronic Command, IRGC-CEC. These individuals are accused of being involved in malicious cyber activities targeting critical infrastructure, including a November 2023 incident impacting water utilities in several U.S. states. It's crucial to note that this isn't an isolated event. Back in September 2022, similar sanctions were placed on individuals and entities tied to the IRGC for their involvement in ransomware activities. Iranian cyber actors have a history of targeting critical infrastructure, with known attempts against Boston Children's Hospital and Israel's water infrastructure. The recent sanctions stem from a November 2023 incident where IRGC-linked actors exploited programmable logic controllers, PLCs, made by an Israeli company. This manipulation affected water utilities across multiple U.S. states, highlighting the potential disruption cyber attacks can cause to essential services. The legal basis for these sanctions lies in Executive Order 13224, targeting terrorism financing, and Executive Order 13606, specifically addressing activities by the IRGC. The sanctions aim to freeze any assets held by the designated individuals within U.S. jurisdiction and prohibit U.S. entities from engaging in transactions with them. Additionally, foreign entities dealing with the sanctioned individuals risk facing repercussions. This event raises several critical questions. What message does the U.S. aim to send through these sanctions? Will they deter future cyber attacks, or will they escalate tensions? How will Iran respond to this action? While definitive answers remain elusive, understanding the context and potential consequences is crucial. The U.S. has long expressed concerns about Iranian cyber activities, viewing them as a national security threat. These concerns have intensified with advancements in cyber capabilities and the potential for widespread disruption. It's vital to remember that cybersecurity remains a complex and evolving landscape. This incident and the subsequent sanctions serve as a stark reminder of the vulnerabilities present in critical infrastructure and the need for continuous vigilance and collaboration to mitigate these risks. Now, we analyze the recent pronouncements by 2 Iraqi militias, Faylaq al-Wa'ad al-Sadiq and Ashab al-Kaf, pledging to continue attacks against American forces in the region. We'll explore the context, potential motivations, and the likelihood of these threats materializing. On February 1st, these pro-Iranian Shia groups issued statements following Kataib Hezbollah's announcement to temporarily suspend its operations against the U.S. in anticipation of retaliatory strikes for a deadly drone attack in Jordan. Understanding the actors involved is crucial. Ashab al-Kaf, a smaller militia, has a history of attacks against coalition forces and the U.S. embassy, including involvement in the storming of the Swedish embassy in Baghdad. Their recent statement emphasizes their commitment to, quote, targeting the American and Zionist occupiers, end quote. Failaq al-Wa'ad al-Sadiq, also relatively small, operates within Iraq and Syria, but hasn't launched known attacks on U.S. forces. Their statement expresses respect for the temporary ceasefire, but asserts their own right to continue operations, citing the Palestinian cause as a key motivator. It's important to consider the potential reasons behind these pronouncements. Some experts believe they aim to maintain pressure on U.S. forces and demonstrate their independence from Kataib Hezbollah. Others view them as symbolic gestures unlikely to translate into concrete action, particularly from Ashab al-Kaf, which has a history of unfulfilled threats. However, the current regional climate, marked by heightened tensions and potential for escalation, necessitates vigilance. While these militias' capabilities are limited, their actions could still disrupt stability and endanger lives. Therefore, several critical questions linger. Will these pronouncements translate into actual attacks? What measures will the U.S. take in response? How will other regional actors react? Next, we delve into the recent, previously undisclosed, high-level talks between Sudan's warring factions, the military government, SAF, and the Rapid Support Forces, RSF. News emerged that representatives from both sides, along with international players like the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and UAE, held private meetings in Bahrain throughout January. While these talks haven't produced a breakthrough peace deal or ceasefire, they mark a significant development in the ongoing conflict. Understanding the key players is crucial. General Shamsuddin Kabashi represents the SAF, the ruling military junta, while General Abdelrahim Degallo negotiates for the RSF, a paramilitary force accused of human rights abuses. Notably, the UAE's involvement is new, raising questions about its potential intentions regarding the conflict. Despite optimism surrounding the talks, it's crucial to acknowledge the complexities. Neither side has publicly commented, and past agreements have often been broken. The RSF has made significant territorial gains, putting the SAF in a less advantageous position. Furthermore, Hemeti, the RSF leader, has been actively seeking international recognition, further complicating the dynamics. Sudan's government publicly denounces both the RSF and these talks, calling them partners in murder. This apparent contradiction between public and private actions raises questions about their true motivations and strategies. Meanwhile, the human cost of the conflict grows dire. Millions are displaced, facing hunger and limited access to aid. The UN warns of potential famine if the situation doesn't improve. While these talks offer a glimmer of hope, significant challenges remain. Trust is low, past agreements have failed, and the RSF holds considerable ground. Additionally, the government's public stance contradicts its participation in private talks, adding another layer of complexity. Several key questions linger. Will these talks translate into concrete progress? What role will international actors play? Can trust be rebuilt between the warring factions? Now we take a look at the evolving relationship between China and the Taliban, focusing on the recent acceptance of the Taliban's first ambassador to China, Bilal Karimi. On January 30th, President Xi Jinping formally accepted Karimi's credentials, marking a significant step in China's cautious approach towards the Taliban regime. This move follows China being the first nation to formally welcome a Taliban ambassador, highlighting their growing interest in Afghanistan. China sees immense economic potential in Afghanistan, with its vast mineral resources and strategic location along the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI route. Since the Taliban takeover, meetings and agreements have been made to tap into this potential, including a 25-year oil deal signed in January 2023. The Wakhan Corridor, connecting Afghanistan to China, has also become a point of interest for trade and infrastructure development. Despite this economic interest, China remains wary of fully embracing the Taliban. Concerns linger around security threats posed by extremist groups and the Taliban's human rights record, particularly towards the Uyghur Muslim minority. China's acceptance of the ambassador may be more about securing influence and access than outright recognition. The Taliban, for their part, see increased economic engagement as a means to gain international legitimacy and recognition. By showcasing itself as a stable governing body, it hopes to secure much-needed investment and infrastructure development. China's approach will likely remain cautious, with investments moving slowly and conditional on improved security and governance. While recognizing the potential of Afghanistan, China is unwilling to compromise its own interests or risk association with human rights abuses. Next, we delve deeper into the recent drone strike that took place in Jordan. On January 29th, a drone strike on the T-22 outpost in Jordan, claimed by Iran-backed militias, took the lives of 3 American soldiers and injured dozens more. This attack, marking a dangerous escalation, raises critical questions about security vulnerabilities and potential responses. While unconfirmed by official sources, reports suggest the attacking drone cleverly evaded detection by tailing a returning American drone. This possibility, if true, exposes a concerning security gap, potentially exploited through human intelligence or compromised systems. Experts like Charles Lister highlight similar tactics used by the same militias in past attacks. The audacity of this strike, outside Iraq and Syria and resulting in fatalities, demands a strong response from the U.S. Balancing deterrence with regional stability is a delicate act. While retaliation seems inevitable, striking the right balance is crucial. Previous responses have been measured, considering ongoing withdrawal plans and tensions with Iran. U.S. action targeting militia leadership and infrastructure in Iraq and Syria is likely. However, the question of directly targeting Iranian leadership, reminiscent of the Soleimani assassination, remains unanswered. The coming days will reveal the nature of the U.S. response. Will it be a measured strike or a broader escalation? Can future attacks be prevented by tightening security protocols? These questions hang heavy as the U.S. navigates this complex and volatile situation. Finally, the Houthis' claim of launching a missile attack against the USS Lewis B. Puller in the Gulf of Aden has the potential to escalate tensions in the already volatile region. While unverified by U.S. authorities, this incident highlights the complex dynamics and risks within the ongoing Yemen conflict. Claiming responsibility through military spokesman Yahya Saraya, the Houthis justify the attack as retaliation for American involvement in the Yemen war and support for Israel. They specifically cite the USS Lewis B. Puller's role in interdicting Iranian weapon shipments suspected to be destined for the Houthis. While no confirmation exists, this wouldn't be the first time the Houthis have made unsubstantiated claims about attacking U.S. vessels. Previous instances, like the alleged attack on the MV Ocean Jazz, were quickly debunked by U.S. authorities. Even if unverified, the claim raises concerns about potential future attacks on commercial shipping or U.S. military assets. The targeting of the USS Lewis B. Puller, involved in anti-smuggling operations, could signal Houthi intentions to disrupt these activities. As part of the axis of resistance, the Houthis' actions could be linked to broader Iranian strategies. An attack, even unconfirmed, could prompt retaliatory strikes by U.S. forces or increased pressure on Iran-backed militias in Iraq and Syria. Navigating this situation requires careful consideration. While deterring aggression is crucial, escalating tensions further could have devastating consequences for the region. Verifying the claim and understanding Houthi motivations are key to finding a measured response. This has been the Middle East Debrief by Atlas News.